Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so we'll see you, or you'll see us downstairs. Have an amazing time. And would you take your seats? It's wonderful to worship and dedicate ourselves afresh. That song is such a powerful song. I'm hearing stuff back here, Si, so if we could... It's not me. It's not me, I promise. It's wonderful to dedicate ourselves to the Lord, and I just know God's got something fresh that He is doing amongst us, and it's an exciting time. He's working through, as a church, we're going through Soul Winner with Pastor Andy Elms. We're so thankful for him, aren't we? For what he is giving to us on equipping us really to do the mission that Jesus has for all of us, and that is win people to Jesus. And so I literally am overjoyed. I'm loving it. I hope you're loving it too. It's fresh. He's got an amazing ability to communicate, but most of all, we're hearing the Lord, and God is working in our hearts and minds and moving us into action stations. So it's exciting. There'll be much fruit from it. There'll be much fruit. If you have a Bible or a tablet or your phone, we're going to just look at one scripture to start with this morning, and we'll see where the Lord takes us. That's Ecclesiastes. It's an unusual book to ask you to look at, but Ecclesiastes, most people know it for there is a time for everything and under the sun, but this is a bit different. And Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10. And when you found that, we won't be long reading it, okay? So it takes you longer to find it probably than to read the one verse. So this is the word of God. And God wanted this in there for us to speak to us through it. Every word that we read that is in the Bible is for our benefit and gives wisdom. And it's actually the voice of God to us. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. A dull axe. If the axe is dull. Now, I don't know if you've ever chopped wood with an axe. I have had the blessing of having a go. Not in my current life and scene in life, but actually years ago. And when my brother or my dad used to chop wood, I used to say, can I have a go? And, you know, they'd have to watch over me a bit because I wasn't very skilled at it. And you had to keep your hands and fingers out the way. But an axe is a powerful instrument. It takes human strength, doesn't it, to move that axe down onto the wood to chop it. But how many of you know that if it's blunt, you're going to be using a whole lot more effort and energy and strength to get the job done? And God is speaking, I believe, through his word to us this morning. Something about not having a dullness to our lives, but being sharp and effective and being able to cut through. Now, if you look at the early church in the book of Acts, what you would call them sharp. They would be spoken of as being very sharp spiritually. So they had the breakthroughs in God. They saw the gospel move with power. They were led by the Spirit. It was always, if you read the book of Acts, it was always exciting. Because God was on the move through people on the move. The people were on the move with God. You could say they were teaming up with God. And it was all because Jesus had gone to the Father and sent his Holy Spirit. And Jesus actually said, don't go and do the job without the Spirit. You need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he will come upon you And he will give you power to be my witnesses. So in other words, we're not supposed to work for the Lord without the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever we're doing, we should be doing with the supernatural empowering and enabling of the Holy Spirit. So to be blunt is easy as a Christian. You can easily get blunt. And one of the ways that I've found in my life how I can get a bit blunt, do the same things I always did, but not see the same cutting through and breakthrough, is if I get disappointed with life, or I get hurt, or I'm just a little bit off the boil, so to speak, spiritually. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? Has anybody felt sometimes you could be a bit sharper, have a bit more edge to your life, see more of the power? I think we all could, actually. And we need a bit more edge restoring. Well, I was taught by my dad, when the axe is starting to get a bit blunt, all you need to do is get sharp and get something that will make it sharp. So time spent sharpening is wisdom. Wisdom will bring success. What is the wisdom for a blunt axe? Get it sharp again. So if you've gone blunt, the good news is you can get sharp. That's good news. If I get a bit dull, I'm not hearing God as effectively or accurately as I did. For example, what have you heard from God this week? What's he said to you this week? Not last year, but what has he been saying to you? What did he say to you yesterday? What are you hearing from God? And if we're a bit dull, we're not hearing. We're not hearing his voice. We're not being led by the Spirit. We're kind of like, I'll have a go at everything and hopefully something works. Well, that's called blunt. Because the people that were baptized in the Spirit in the book of Acts, they were led by the Holy Spirit into effective encounters with people. And so what they were doing was Spirit-led, Spirit-empowered work, like a sharp axe. And they had to have times of sharpening. And we need times where we are really having a sharpening going on in our lives. I believe that's happening with Soul Winner. I believe it happens every Sunday. But I believe we also need to know how to sharpen up on our own at home, not just in a corporate meeting. Because that's the joy of the Christian life, is that we will be sharp and effective in winning people to Christ, in our working life, in our family lives, as we raise children, that actually God will give us wisdom for everything we need in our lives. And so it's restoring the edge. You know, Paul said to Timothy, don't neglect your spiritual gift. Stir it up. And actually, he was saying this, and it's an interesting point, because Timothy maybe had got a bit blunt. And he was a man of God. He was faithful. He was loyal. He was serving. He was always there. But it gone a bit blunt, spiritually speaking. So Paul was saying, stir up. Stir yourself up in the Spirit. Stir something up in God so that you can see an effective sharpness that comes from God. Now Jesus, his ministry stayed sharp because he always spent time alone with his Father. He lived out of encounters and presence and a real voice that he was hearing, so that he moved through the day bringing what he had received into the experience of other people's lives. So when he had a revival and the whole town came to the door, everybody got healed. Jesus got up very early in the morning before the light came. before the sun was up. And he spent time with his father. And Peter and all the others said, we've lost Jesus. Where's he gone? He spent some time sharpening. He was alone with his father. And when they found him, they said, everybody's looking for you. We want you to be here. And Jesus says, no, 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 that's not my father's will. And so many Christians are led by people's demands and are not led by the Holy Spirit. People are led by the pressure of what people want and not moving with what the Spirit is doing. So Jesus said, no, we need to go on. We've got more people who need to hear the message. We need to go and preach the gospel of the kingdom to them as well. And so Jesus stayed sharp. He had these times that were intentional with his father. And then, you know, I found in my life throughout the day, if I have real encounter experiences transforming me with God, then during the day it's easy just to tune in, because I'm more conscious of him than of anybody else. And God is wanting to restore the edge back to us as individual believers, but as a whole church. And part of that is the equipping in soul winners, but we need the Holy Spirit. We need to understand how to get sharp again. Is this good? You know, Jesus spoke to two women. He went to Mary and Martha's house. You can read of it in Luke chapter 10. And it's a story, it's a really interesting story. They both welcomed Jesus into their home. And that's interesting for me. They both believed in him. They both wanted him. And there were two different responses to Jesus being in the home. And Martha was full on running around, getting everything sorted so that she could serve Jesus. All very good. Isn't it important we serve him and do things for the Lord? It doesn't mean we don't serve the Lord. But the problem was she put serving ahead of intimacy. And she kept going, doing what she should be doing for the Lord. But she was absolutely distracted by all the things that she had to get done. And I know I'm speaking to busy parents, businessmen and women. I'm speaking to teachers, to people who get up really early and come home late at night. I know I'm saying this word to so many variety of different kinds of people. But Jesus said to Martha, you're distracted by many things. One thing is needed. One thing. Not many things. Every leader, every connect group, one thing's needed. Every person in the worship team, one thing is needed. Everybody on children's ministry, one thing is needed. A mum, a dad, a businessman, a teacher, a plumber, one thing is needed. And Mary chose it because she was sitting at the feet of Jesus hearing from him. And I'll bet you it's a lot more than the voice that she received. Because when you really are with Jesus, we are being changed by his presence. He transforms us from one degree of glory to another as we behold him. Now I want you to picture with me Mary and Martha going on mission after having Jesus at home. They're going out the next day, soul winning. Okay? Now, I want you to because Martha's prayer life was a bit dodgy. Because she was ticked off with her sister. Has anybody read the story? Because she said, complained, get Mary helping me. I'm doing all the work here. I'm fed up with my sister. That's called manipulative prayer. Change them, Lord, rather than change me. So she is manipulating in prayer. She's a bit fed up, resentful of what she's doing for the Lord. And you could call her as blunt as a spoon. Okay, so she's going out the next day. Maybe she works in the supermarket or, I don't know, making falafels at a roadside cafe. And she's as blunt as a spoon, a bit fed up, a bit resentful for what she has to do with the Lord on top of all her work. And the kids. And the family. And somebody comes up and she thinks, oh, I've got to soul win now. Because out of the heart flow the issues of life. So I don't need to describe to you what Martha would be like, do I? Well, you need to become a Christian. Because you're going to hell currently. And, and if you do, well, it's a big, long to-do list. Life's all about what you do. Mary, on the other hand, she's a school cleaner. She goes and cleans at the school the next day, and somebody pops along, a teacher who's looking ragged, and she looks at them and her heart is moved with compassion because she knows how much Jesus loves her. She just wants to be moved to love that person. And she just shares how important, how wonderful relationship with Jesus is. The conversations would be entirely different if you did a compare and contrast on Mary and Martha's way of life. And Jesus said, the time spent sharpening, the time in my presence is not a waste of time. Because that's the place I speak to you. That's the place I change you. That's where I'm able to put my heart in your heart. You're able to experience me. So you carry my presence and my power with you. And my spirit is active and working. So when you speak, you cut through to the heart because it's the spirit speaking through you. And so, yes, we need to be activated to go out and win people to Christ without even putting a question mark on it, yes and amen, but activated by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit to go out and do the same works as Jesus, cooperating with the Lord and his presence. Isn't it important that we don't do just a whole lot of things, but we do it in the power, please, of the Holy Spirit? So, when you feel a bluntness on you, what else happens? You know, you lose your joy. You talk about everything but Jesus. Pastor Andy talked about having conversations. If somebody's really important to you and you're kind of living with that person, because after all, we are living with Jesus. Hello? He lives with us, we live with him. You know, you're going to be talking about them if you love them. Are you not? And very much Mary would have been a talker about Jesus. Martha would have been a talker about what's to do. She had an edge, but the wrong kind of edge. The Lord wanted to bring, he didn't say it in a negative way, but he said, basically, come back to me. Don't serve without encounter and experience. Now, I just want to help you on how to do that. Brilliant. How do you get sharp? How do I get sharp? How do I take the bluntness off my life, you know? And because if you're not really experiencing the Lord, very soon the enemy kind of puts a heaviness over you. Yes. You know, you're wearing a garment of heaviness, not a garment of praise and breakthrough. Yes. The oil of joy just diminishes and life just gets hard work and miserable. How many of you don't want that? I don't want life to be hard work and miserable. I want it to be in God, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I need to understand that I will get blunt without the one thing, that intentional relationship with Jesus Christ on my own. on my own. Okay, so how do I do this? I wanted to just help you have a fresh experience of Jesus. Is that okay? And just show you. And I'm hoping that this will not just be teaching for you, but you'll go and do it and experience. Because the Word of God isn't just for teaching, but it's actually for us to go and experience and do. When we put the Word into operation, we get the experiences that Jesus has intended. And I want to tell you, God is a God of an open hand. He opens His hand and gives everything good, satisfies the desire of every living creature. So He's not tight-fisted. He's an open-handed God. He's a generous God. So when you're with Him, He will be giving generously to you. But how do we do this? Well, we're going to just look at the roadmap of, everybody knows roadmap these days, but this is roadmap to the Lord. Psalm 95. We don't have to make up how to. It's in the Word of God. Psalm 95. You could use Psalm 100, but God's really put this on my heart. Psalm 95. How do we have this fresh, restoring edge of the life and power of His presence personally happen to me? How does it happen? Well, Psalm 95, we're just going to go through here, and this is what I do. And especially if I'm feeling pretty down or low or not feeling like it, I will especially do this. I will intentionally do this for a breakthrough. You okay? This is called sharpening my edge, stirring up, and getting into a place where I have an experience transforming me of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit at work. Okay, so let's start verse 1. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. Now, we won't go on to that. So, this is what I do. I take this and do it. It's very simple. Okay, it's not rocket science. It's just I take the Word of God and I say, right, I draw near to God in this way. So I come to Him. You're coming to a person. James says, draw near to me, and the Lord says, and I will draw near to you. So in other words, we initiate, we start drawing near. We start drawing near, and He draws near to us. You see? He's already here, but it's your heart and your intention to draw near to the person. Not like Martha, but like Mary, who sat at His feet, who drew near to Jesus. Okay, location. So come. Be intentional. Now, I make sure that if someone else is in the house, I'm usually in my bedroom with my door closed. Because I can't do this with my mouth closed. I don't know if you've ever tried to shout joyfully with your mouth closed. Is it possible, humanly speaking? No. Okay? But I always rather do this when there's no one in the house. Okay? So, it says, come, let us sing. So that's using your voice to sing, whether it's a good one, a bad one, or whatever people have said, God loves your voice. He gave it to you to sing praise. So come, let us sing. Let's shout joyfully. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're good. You're good, Lord. I shout for joy. You're the rock of my salvation. I will praise you, Lord. Now, sometimes it's a bit hushed. I will praise you, Lord. You're good. You're amazing. You're great. You're awesome. I will bless you. I will praise you. You've forgiven me all my sins. You heal all my diseases. You crown my life with loving kindness. How can I stay silent? I will praise you. I will exalt you. Come, let's shout joyfully, not miserably. Now, there are times when it's more difficult to do that because of the trouble and the pain you're going through, which is why Hebrews speaks about bringing a sacrifice of praise. It costs you to go beyond your feelings and your kind of lazy body. Has anybody ever experienced a lazy body? I have. So my body, naturally speaking, early morning, just wants to sit there and huddle and just be comforted. Not shout for joy. But you see, I'm activating my spirit. God is spirit, and he lives in my spirit. And I know that if I'm going to experience the Lord, I need to get beyond my physical restrictions and move towards the Lord in the way he asks me to. Yes. So he has asked for a shout of praise. Yes. That's what the Lord asks for. Yes. Okay, come, let us shout joyfully to the Lord. Out loud. You know, it's incredible. If you read 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament, he likes loud. Okay? So I don't know what happened with all the silence in church. And I know the virus has stilted us a bit in that way corporately, but not on our own, has it? Or has it? You know, sometimes there can be a reason why we're not active in the Spirit is because maybe we're not shouting for joy to the Lord. There's a breakthrough in a shout. The walls come down with a shout. The walk, you know, there's a power in a shout of praise. God has gone up with a shout. He is victorious and triumphant. He's our champion. You know, people shout at a football match with a ball with air in. That's what football is. It's a ball with air. And then they go to church and then it's zip. Oh no, now we come down. But no, or go to prayer and praise and time with the Lord. Come, let us shout joyfully to the Lord. There's a breakthrough in this. Sing joyfully to him. God likes loud. In the Old Testament, there were 120 trumpets with the singing. Imagine the volume. I mean, I remember being in a meeting, I'll make you laugh, and we were all kind of meeting with the Lord, and suddenly somebody decided to play a trumpet, and I didn't know they were going to. And it was like, and I literally shot up in shock, and that was one trumpet. Imagine 120. I think Taunton might hear. I mean, you'd have to block your ears with 120 trumpets. God likes loud. The praise in heaven is loud. Glory, honor, strength, power, wisdom, dominion belongs to the Lamb who sits on the throne, the God of the ages, the eternal Lord. He is the Lord God Almighty. We want breakthroughs, don't we? We want the Spirit. We want the life of God. We want to see God move. We want to see an edge restored. This isn't personality, it's the Word. So fit your personality to the Word, not around you. So be what God wants, rather than the other way around. Be what you want. Come, let's shout. Let's sing. Now, thanksgiving, oh, it's so important. Thank you. You're with me always. Thank you for every promise. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you've been my shepherd and my guide all my life. Thank you for what you've given me in my friends, my family, my children. Thank you for my work. Thank you for the resources you've given me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. That's giving thanks. It's vocal. Come before his presence, coming to Jesus with thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to him with psalms. Now this is sung. You're singing psalms, you're singing songs or spiritual songs, or you're making them up yourself. Now, there are two things you can do. You can have a playlist that actually helps you to praise, or you can sing your own. Now, I have noticed that often what happens is the more we go on with the Lord, the more special certain songs are to us personally. Okay, so that's fine when you're on your own. You can have one from the 1920s. You know, because if it moves your heart and softens your heart and leads you to praise, then use it. But the new songs, some of the new songs, not all, are wonderful. But remember, this is about relationship. Now, imagine a couple relating. And, you know, because if songs get too complicated, you kind of have to read the words, don't you? But if you know the words, you can really speak them out from your heart. Imagine a couple sitting down relating, and one is saying to the other, hang on a minute, I wrote something down earlier. Oh, actually, it was somebody else, and I thought these words were really good to use. And you're reading the song, and you're singing what you're reading. Oh, my beloved. Hang on, what else was it? You are wonderful, singing away. And that person listening to you be going like, that's a bit fake. Because we need to get into a place where it's actually, we've learned a song enough that it comes from our heart. I mean, you know, some of you, because you've been around years and it's also been refreshed, my Jesus, I love you. I know thou art mine. For you, all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Saviour art thou. If ever I loved you, my Jesus, it's now. So you're singing, you're starting to praise, you're singing to the Lord. What's happening is there's a growing consciousness of his presence. You're losing sight of you and you're gaining sight of Jesus. And the songs need to be about Jesus, not about you. Otherwise, all you'll have is an encounter with you. Because whatever you focus on will be what you see and what you experience. And Jesus fills songs that are not complicated when you're in that place of praise and thanksgiving. I put on a praise song. It's time to celebrate. It's time to give you praise. Yes! You are worthy. And I'm doing it quiet sometimes. And I'm also going, you're worthy. And I mean it. You know, I'm not showing off this morning. I'm just saying this is something for a breakthrough. And we need to get rid of the dullness and become sharp in the spirit. We need to become praising as Jesus asks us to praise. Encountering him. But the more I'm going on, the more I'm aware of him. And then on my playlist or in my heart, I'll start with worship. Because praise, the more conscious you are, the more you want to bow down. And my body will serve what I'm experiencing. So I will get on my knees. Like it says, come, let us worship and bow. This awe and reverence and honor. I'll be on my knees before the Lord and I will be worshiping, singing a song that actually enables me to meet with him. enables me to experience at this moment I am beginning to not just give but also receive. I'm starting to receive an experience of Jesus, who's my life, he's my love, he's my joy, he's my peace. I'm getting waves of glory because his presence is all glorious. It's an experience of him, not just a giving to him. The more you give, the more you get back, but you start to get back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He invades the time of worship. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. But sometimes, you know, we have to start feeling nothing, mechanical, shouting praise. We have to start stilted. Do you know what I mean? You just start, like you do on a Sunday morning, sometimes things are so stilted, and that's why we encourage you. Lift up your hands, lift your voice, praise him. Why? Because he wants it. He wants the praise. He deserves the praise. All praise and glory and honor. My mouth will praise him. I will shout for joy to the Lord. Exuberant. And then there comes a manifestation of Jesus personally. Sing in tongues. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, he said, I will sing with my spirit. I will also sing with my understanding. To sing with your spirit means your heavenly Holy Spirit language. So this singing in tongues, you're activating your spirit rather than just staying mind-centered. You're moving. There's a flow of the Holy Spirit through your spirit. But don't just let your mind roam. You know, you can only be with the one person at a time. So if your phone's next to you, how many of you know your phone can be the worst thing to distract you? Because everybody's on the media thing, boom, boom, another message, Twitter. It's all coming in to your phone. And because you want to know immediately what that person is saying, you keep it on. Yeah. And have you ever seen a couple at a restaurant? One's on one phone, the other's on the other phone. It's called, and they go, honey, I'm with you, really. I could honestly say they're not. They're more tuned into what's happening over here than they are with that person there. That's why your phone needs to either be shut down, closed off, or, you know, so just use it for songs of praise and worship. But don't allow the one-on-one to be interrupted. Otherwise, you'll just come out of that moment. Now, I know that for busy mums and dads and busy households, time can be very restricted. But let me encourage you to find that time. Don't always excuse life by saying, I don't have time. Because it's amazing what you find time for, if you want to. Okay, so make room, even if it's 10 minutes, do it. 20 minutes, do it, grab it, grab those 10, 20 minutes and have a fresh time of praising, thanksgiving and worship and then this beholding him. Now, one of the keys I do when I'm worshiping and I stop all the music actually and I'm just alone with him, I use a word picture of Jesus. Okay, so one that I know. So, just comes to mind how Jesus brought the children to him and he blessed them. And we're all his children. And you can just picture him doing that with you, gathering you to him and blessing you. He spoke a blessing over the kids. And, or you can, one of the key moments in worship, I often get it. I have a vision based on Isaiah 53 of Jesus on the cross. Because if you want to know and experience the love, you can imagine him on the cross. And this is the greatest demonstration that God's love has ever shown, is that Christ died on the cross for our sins. So if you want to meet with him in his love, see, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. See him, his hands, his feet. I often picture, as I'm worshipping, his feet with the scars and the blood flowing. I see his side. I see the marks where the thorns, the crown of thorns, the price, the suffering, the weight that he carried, the darkness, how he became sin for us. And I just say, Lord, your love is so amazing. And I'm experiencing him. It's a word picture, but it's my picture. I'm thinking about him. And if you've messed up, see yourself like running back to the Father like the prodigal. And what did the father do? I mean, literally, it was a sprint. The father ran, hugged, kissed. So affectionate because his son, who was lost, is back. That's the father. That's the love. That's the transforming power of being with Jesus. And then just listen. Because he'll want to speak today if you hear his voice. And get a journal. I always write down, like King David did. The Spirit gave him the plans for the temple. He just sat. He was a worshipper. He met with the Lord. His whole success and victories were out of his personal time with God. And nobody will be any different. Our lives will mean everything because we have time alone with God. And he wrote down the plans. Can you believe that? For the temple. It was incredible. He wrote them down. And then when I write, I just hear him speaking to me about whatever he wants to say. He often says nice things about me. Much nicer than I would say about me. Anybody ever heard much nicer words than you would say yourself? He says, I'm his beloved. How he's chosen me. How he sees me as the apple of his eye, the center of his vision. And in that speaking, he then says, I've got a job for you to do today. And he gives me his word, something to do, something to put into practice. And what's important is, I go back to my journal and I say, well, Lord, did I do it? Not just did I hear it, but did I actually go and do what you said to do? Or do I still need to get something done for you? And then during the day, because of this time, I will live in a different dimension. A sharpness to the voice. I hear him for people. I mean, I'm hearing the Lord in unusual ways at the moment. There's a new activation of the Spirit happening. And I'm getting visions, I'm getting words, there's healing coming to people, there's all kinds of things happening. The same with Pastor Andrea. We're operating it, but that's for you. That's for you as well. But this is the root. There isn't a shortcut. It's like an axe. You can't just keep going, doing the same things and expect things to change. It's the time sharpening that changes us. Praise God. God has got so much for you. So much of the power and the gifts and the supply of the Spirit in and through your life. And he wants to restore this personal time in such an encounter experience way. Not just to do it, but to experiencing him. That's the goal. That we go out and we are different. People will say how gracious, how kind they are. When you used to be snappy. Imagine Martha doing what Mary did. She wouldn't have been snappy. She wouldn't have been ticked off. She'd have been selling falafels with a big smile on her face. And she'd have been just like Mary coming back. Oh, what a wonderful day. The Lord is so amazing, talking about Jesus all the time, rather than moan, moan, moan. I wish everything was different, I think. It's such a difficult thing being a Christian and having to serve on teams and raise children. And, oh, we've got so much. She'd be, oh, life. I'm so blessed to have Jesus in my life. Praise God. Shall we stand? Praise the Lord. How you doing? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands and say, Lord, I want to experience you in new ways. Just at home, if you just reach out to Jesus now. He's here. He's with you. Say, Lord, I want to draw near like this. I don't want my flesh to dictate how I do this. I want to be someone who is free to shout joyfully to you, to praise you because you are worthy. You're the great King, the great God above all gods. And Lord, I want to experience a sharpening out of my relationship with you, where I'm being changed, where you're actually activating. So that I'm moving in the power of the Spirit during my day. Holy Spirit, we love you. We honor you in us. We don't want to quench you. We want to cooperate with you in your ways. And Lord, if we've lost the shout, restore it back. If we've lost the loud praise, restore it back. To us as individuals. Let us come together when we can again to shout. Let us come all individually like those trumpets, all full blast, declaring and proclaiming the greatness of our God. Not coming under the soul and the emotions and the difficulties, but letting that anointing, that life of your Spirit bring a breakthrough. Thank you for praise, the power of praise, like Paul and Silas. Lord, they praised you whatever, but you gave them an earthquake. You gave them a power and a freedom in that moment. Lord, let that come back. Let that an oil of joy instead of sorrow, and a garment of praise instead of heaviness. Lord, break off the straitjackets the enemy wants to put on us. Break it off us, Lord, so that we can free up in the Spirit and allow the activity of the power of the Holy Spirit to flow. And Lord, we want to be with you. We love you. We don't just want to serve you and be like Martha, fed up that there's something else we've got to do. We want it to flow out of a love and a passion and a zeal for Jesus. You've got people waiting for us to save. Lord, send us out because we're activated by the power of your voice, your Spirit, your presence. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I worship you. I worship you alone. I devote myself to you, Jesus. Just talk to him just for a few moments and we'll close the meeting. Love on Jesus again. Worship. Worship him, adore him, holy, perfect one, the one who is love, the one who loves us more than anyone ever has or could, the lover of our souls, the one who died, poured out your life so that we could live. Thank you, Jesus. praise your wonderful name. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gift of tongues. We will sing with the Spirit. We will sing with the understanding. We will allow your Spirit to flow out of our hearts, Lord, like a river of living water. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Praise, 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 praise. Let our days be filled with ceaseless praise. Amen. Let our days be filled with ceaseless praise. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands for a moment and just exalt him. Exalt Jesus, the Lord of your life, the God who is present, the God who is worthy. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands in his name and praise him. Glory to your name. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy are you, Jesus, of all power and all praise and all honor. Glory, glory, glory. I give glory, glory to the one and only Jesus Christ, the beloved Son of the living God, the one who died and rose again. I give you glory. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you as you encounter him in fresh ways this week. And out of that will flow a river of life to the lost and hurting world. May the Lord bless you. And looking forward to Soul Winner on Wednesday night, but also Tuesday morning before you go. We're having our prayer meeting at 6:45 to 7:15 on Tuesday morning because of Wednesday night is Soul Winner. So join us. And we're going to pray together online. So the details will be coming to your email very shortly, if they haven't already. Bless you. Have an amazing time with Jesus this week.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.